It's time for Robert's Rules, our regularly scheduled check-in with Chatham County Representative and North Carolina House Minority Leader Robert Reeves. Robert, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And we're kind of in the season and during an election year where it seems like it's probably mostly fundraising right now.
Yes.
Is that what you've been up to of late?
Yes, that is what I've been up to of late.
and how, I know that, you know, obviously it's not your favorite part of the job, but kind of how long do you have that scoped out as being like the major focus before it kind of turns into more of a traditional out in front of people campaigning?
Well, really, that's a good question because of the way the landscape has changed. If you had asked me this when I first started in that first couple of terms, I'd say that, hey, this is going to be intensified until we get to around May or June, and then that's when you get to more of the forward facing. But what you find is, one, we're campaigning year round now. So you're doing a lot more forward-facing things. But two, which I think is more important, is that you don't see inter-party debates anymore. And I noticed that starting probably in 18. I mean, we just flat out can't get two candidates in the general election on the same stage. And so you don't have as much of that. And you're seeing more of your, you know, as we always put it, your base or, you know, likely voters than you are anybody else. And so I think because of that, fundraising still kind of stays there pretty much the whole time, and it's still a pretty intense purpose because, you know, as I've told you before, and I will repeat ad nauseum, the money on the other side is just mind-boggling at this point. I mean, even for somebody that's been there for 10 years, the difference between the money that Republicans have to spend on campaigns now as compared to even 5 years ago is really mind-boggling. And, you know where it's coming from, you know who the sources are, but it'd be nice if we could get that kind of commitment from a couple of billionaires to just making government better instead of giving it to a party, but that's where we are.
It's a relatively short list. We could just start calling people, right?
You would think. It was funny. I was actually speaking to a school yesterday, and I was talking them through kind of what we do in government. And so one of the decisions I talked them through is, and try to ask it, and I think it for once did a good job of asking it evenly about what we do about public education spending. And so, and of course, you've got a real diverse group of kids when it's a large group of kids, and especially in a public school. And so literally kids from every spectrum kind of gave their thoughts. You had people that said, we probably shouldn't spend any money on public school. We ought to do this. But it was interesting. Each of them gave an alternative that, you know, in their minds made sense. Like one of the kids was really good. He was talking about how, like, hey, we've got all of this going on in the world. You know, maybe we could take some of the money we spend on schooling and kind of help, defend some of these countries that can't defend themselves. I was just like, man, that's interesting. But the most interesting to me was one that you could tell he's pretty well-versed. He definitely had been around, good economic circumstances. And I think this is why we should always have open conversations, because you might have expected him to have certain views regarding how money should be spent and things of that sort. And he said, well, why don't we have people who have more of an ability to help us spend more money on folks that don't? And I said, well, they'll have that on a political campaign ad against you when you start running for office in 10 years. So, but my point being, it is really, it's really interesting how kids view what's going on right now with government and how those of us in government view it.
9-year-old Billy Wilson believes in the redistribution of wealth.
There you go. I was picturing the campaign ad in my head. And, and he really did. When I was explaining to him in a nice way that, that's some of the discussions we sometimes have about taxes and things of that sort. He was just really like, why is this so confusing for you guys?
It's like pretty simple to me. It's from the mouths of babes.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to circle back to something you mentioned about not really having debates anymore. Is that something where it's just like you can't get the opposing party to agree to a debate, or is it what's the holdup there where you're not seeing those happen as often?
Well, not being one of the folks that would be putting on a debate, what I can tell you is that what people who put the debates on will tell you, newspapers, media outlets, and they just say that they generally can't get people to agree to do it. That they'll say, hey, we want to get you guys on the same stage to, have conversation about issues that are affecting us. And that what they have noted is that you'll get a general denial by a full group of people just saying, we're not doing a debate, period. And it's strange. And I know how you can look at it cynically and just say, people line up in their tribes and they're going to do what they're going to do. But it has been a really strange change, because I remember the first debate that happened, where you had a whole, just being frank, in this particular debate, in this particular area, you had all the Democratic candidates showed up and none of the Republican candidates showed up. And what they did is they went on forward with the debate. And so, you were just sitting there debating empty chairs, and it was just, it was strange. It was strange because the problem is, and this is something I, again, emphasize to the children I was talking to, is that it's so hard to get through all the noise to find out what candidates really stand for or believe policy-wise. You'll hear candidates talk about everything in the world except for policy that these candidates actually affect. They'll be able to tell you, whether the green Martians should be able to do this or the white Martians can do this, but they can't tell you, hey, how do we fix affordable housing? So that's unfortunate.
It's the voice of Robert Reeves, representing Chatham County, and representing yourself as well as
exactly.
A Chatham County resident. This is Robert's Rules. I wanted to ask a little bit too. I know that the legislature is not in session, but what in terms of news out of Raleigh kind of has your eye for affecting this area right now?
Directly affecting this area, it's still going to be water and infrastructure. I was actually just at a town meeting last night about water infrastructure, and it is unbelievable the needs throughout the state for water and infrastructure. And coincidentally enough, broadband is still out front. We've gotten a ton of money in for broadband. We've got enough money now. We could put broadband in every house we wanted to, period, and get that done. But we're still seem to be having trouble deploying the broadband for various reasons. So a lot of people who did not have broadband before we got the federal funds still don't have broadband. And I do think that's still in front of everybody's mind. Affordable housing has really moved up, and I'm going to be interested candidly to see how that shakes out politically, because that's an issue that's not a partisan issue. In fact, most of our issues aren't, but I digress. But affordable housing is a really, really serious issue right now. I was talking to the mayor of my town, Golston, last night, who, he's great. I love engaging with him. And, we talked about the fact that Chatham County is, the highest median price for homes right now in the entire state. And that's going to keep happening to rural counties that touch these urban areas. If you're part of the Wake County belt, you're going to see your home prices go up. If you're part of the MEC belt, you're going to see your home price go up. And, and it's just it's really scary, because we've got all this economic growth, but people can't afford it. Now, I say all that to say about those issues that will affect our area, the issue that I expect to be first and foremost and number one on the charts and blazing through as soon as we get back into session will be casinos. And it is, it'll be interesting to see what we spend most of our time on.
I mean, not to kind of further the hype around that, but that was the whole casinos conversation was a bit of a mess. Last session, do you expect the Republicans to be together on that a little bit more after this break?
Or yes. I think that by the time we get back, the primaries will be over. So I think you'll see more unanimity amongst their caucus than you did before the primaries happened.
This is Robert's Rules. We're visiting with Robert Reeves, and we are actually just about out of time already. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention that we haven't gotten to yet?
No, again, for folks to really keep their eyes open and just really try to parse through all the noise. It is. This is going to be an unbelievable year for information that is sent out, and it's going to be an unbelievable year for disinformation. We've already seen with artificial intelligence some pretty frightening examples of, you know, deep fakes, not both video and audio. You know, we had a couple of, I think there was a call that went out that was purporting to be President Biden a little while ago, just saying all kinds of incredible things. And so that's the biggest fear I have right now, is the sheer amount of money that's going to be spent on disinformation. And I hope folks will try to find reliable sources that they can find out about candidates and people running for office to make good informed decisions.
Representative Reeves, thank you again for making the time, and I look forward to talking again in the future.
All right. Thanks a lot.